SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Here's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 22nd of April 2024. The Australian share market recovered today, up 1.1%. We'll have the details with Elio D'Amato from Stockopedia in a few moments. But first, I want to tell you about a new podcast which begins on Wednesday called Cost of Living Secrets. It's with me and SBS journalist Peggy Giacomelos. Every Wednesday, we'll speak to an expert in the field about how you can save money every day on everyday things, things like petrol, rents, seeing a doctor, nutrition, interest rates, and at the supermarket, which will be our first topic. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Cost of Living Secrets. It's brought to you by SBS and SBS News and begins from Wednesday. But first, let's start with the business news now and the economy, where South Australia has taken the title of the nation's leading economic performer. It topped CommSec's quarterly State of the States report, rating first on four of the eight key indicators used to measure strength, and that includes economic growth, employment, construction work, and dwelling starts. The East Coast states, along with the ACT, were ranked equal fourth, but changing demographics may see a new leader next time. So for more, John Baldock spoke with Craig James, Chief Economist at CommSec.
Craig, firstly, were you surprised to see South Australia leading the charts again for the second time running?
It's not a surprise to us. When we look at the economic indicators, South Australia has consistently performed well. We look at eight key indicators and compare the latest observation with the decade average to get a measure of economic performance. And on four of those eight measures, South Australia ranks number one in the nation.
What factors have been behind South Australia's success?
Well, basically, any economy needs that momentum factor that drives the economy forward. And it tends to be a sort of population growth. And quite a few years ago, what we saw is South Australian population growth rose quite significantly. So that's bearing fruit now in terms of the broader economy, with more homes being built, more people around spending their money, and businesses investing as a result of that. We've seen that in the past with Tasmania and also Victoria. Population can be a great boost to the overall economy.
Looking ahead, which states do you think are primed for success next quarter?
Certainly, the states are at the top of the leaderboard. South Australia, Western Australia and Victoria have got the best chance to be able to get number one in the next quarter survey. But we think Western Australia is the one that stands out, basically due to very, very strong population growth. And if you look at the annual growth measures, it really outperforms. But all the states and territories broadly are sort of performing quite well at the moment.
The Treasury is signalling tough times ahead around the world and that that'll inevitably affect the economy here. Is the economy here able to withstand those headwinds, do you think?
Well, so you think about the situation here in Australia, we run a trade surplus, a broader current account surplus. We've got a budget surplus. And they certainly don't have that in places like the United States and many other parts of the world in terms of advanced nations. So Australia is sitting very well. The job market's in good shape as well. The only thing that we need to work on is getting inflation down. Now, there's certainly a lot of uncertainties about the global environment, particularly in terms of China and the United States. But one of the reasons why interest rates aren't going down in a hurry in the United States is they don't really need to. They don't need to cut interest rates because their economy is actually performing okay.
That's Craig James there from CommSec speaking with John Baldock.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Well, after a horrible week last week, the Australian share market started the week well. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.1% to 7,649. For more, I spoke with Elio D'Amato, an analyst at Stockopedia. Elio, after a pretty horrible week last week, the ASX has started the new week quite strongly. Why?
Well, when I couldn't see stories of the Middle East on the front page of the financial papers, I sort of already knew that we were going to have a pretty good day after, as you mentioned, a pretty tough time last week. I mean, really, when we think about it, it commanded so much of our mind space last week. But in reality, since October 7th, that fateful day when those raids occurred, the ASX 200 has risen by over 7% in that time. In fact, on the first trading day after the actual event, our market went up. And yes, oil, that actually fell initially. Of course, it recovered since then. But I think that probably tells us what we already knew was the market sort of looking beyond any regional conflict. And therefore, whilst it might command the headlines and therefore sentiment, in reality, many are looking to earnings, particularly in the US as they approach their quarterly earnings season. And things aren't that bad necessarily. And of course, inflation being a double-edged sword, in that, you know, prices go up as well as the fact that, yes, the cost of doing business goes up. And I think that's probably going to command more of a trader's mindset in the near term. That's stubborn inflation or the battle against that, as well as what interest rates do. And of course, that weaker Aussie dollar. So, you know, you can definitely throw your hat in the ring for points of possible concern. But I suggest an easing of tensions in the Middle East was a big contributor to today's relief rally.
So which sectors are driving the numbers today?
Well, all sectors, with the exception of energy, are actually having a good day. And even when you look at energy, within that you had Boss Energy, who came out and confirmed the first, the first barrel of yellowcake from its Honeymoon project in South Australia has come out. So, look, the best of a good batch, as it were, is healthcare. And there is some bargain hunting happening there. I mean, let's face it, they've had a terrible 12 months. To be quite frank, it's only been bettered in terms of the poor performers by consumer staples. And no one wants that overpriced good at the moment, that's for sure, least of all the government. And once they start looking at a sector, well, as an investor, you know, you better look elsewhere. So, yeah, obviously the healthcare sector is next in line. And therefore, that has seen a large part of the money flow this trading day.
You mentioned a few moments ago inflation. We get the official quarterly numbers on Wednesday. How is that likely to impact the markets and the potential interest rate outlook?
Look, this is a case of conditions returning to normal, where stubborn inflation is likely to see rates stay higher for longer than many may have initially thought. Many market participants have already accepted this for some time, that we're unlikely to see a rate cut anytime soon, as the inflation numbers still remain quite elevated or not near enough to the RBA's target range of 2 to 3%. But, I mean, when you judge that by the market's performance in recent times, who really cares? I mean, we've known this phenomenon of higher rates for longer is going to remain, not only here in Australia, but the US as well, and in other major jurisdictions across the world too. So look, you've got that cost of doing business going up. You would hope that revenues go up in line with that, and therefore we get fixated because column A, you know, assuming that rises more than column B, which in my speak is actually known as margins, then quite frankly, that's going to be the focus more than anything in our view. But I think, yeah, stubborn inflation is likely to stay here for a little longer than some may have hoped.
We've spoken about the Middle East. We've spoken about inflation and interest rates. The other key factor impacting the markets more broadly, I guess, is China. China today left some key interest rate, borrowing rates on hold today. What's your take on the nation and the implications for Australia?
Oh, look, I'd love to say that this was a surprise, but it wasn't. They still have their issues as an economy on that post-pandemic period, notwithstanding that we've now put that well and truly behind us. This is highlighted by the fact that, many builders worth billions of dollars on paper, but zero in reality, have gone broke in recent times. And of course, the government's been carefully managing any contagion there in that regard. They're desperately trying to get internal consumption to make up a lot, take up the slack, as it were. And, speaking of curated data, I mean, let's face it, everyone was expecting, that stronger than expected earnings growth that we saw last week was probably enough to see rates remain on hold at the moment. In our view, there's still a downside bias in regards to interest rates over there, notwithstanding the one-year rate is 3.45%. I think the five-year rate's 3.95%. But obviously, where that consumption comes from is going to be a big dictator as to where China heads, and therefore, by extension, where our nation, our budget, and all the other things attached will go as well.
And then just wrapping up, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Oh, look, obviously, I've consistently bantered on about this idea of looking for what we would call price makers, those that it can accept the rising cost of doing business but are able to increase their revenues as well. But obviously, the sell down that we saw last week does see us look for possible bargains that it might be out there, notwithstanding we're trading at near all-time highs. Our eye immediately casts to ResMed and Woolworths in particular. You can even look at current producers at the moment. If you assume that that's cyclical and we're at the bottom of that cycle, stocks like IGO and Pilbara Resources are another two. And if you think AI is part of our future, then you'd be silly to dismiss Data3 or Dicker Data, two companies that are currently profitable and right at the coalface of basically turning every ASX 200 business into an AI machine. But of course, always be careful, never mistake a bull market for brains. Buy the dip, as the younger ones would say, is probably true at the moment, as the overview in regards to where the market's headed is quite bullish, notwithstanding possible grey clouds ahead.
It's Elio D'Amato there from Stockopedia. And don't forget, from Wednesday, search for Cost of Living Secrets. It's a new podcast with myself and SBS journalist Peggy Giacomelos, where we speak to an expert in the field about how you can save money every day on everyday things, from petrol to rents in the supermarket. The first podcast will be out on Wednesday. Just search for Cost of Living Secrets wherever you get your podcasts from. This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.